Can you hear me on this thing? Everybody? All right. Quite a welcoming music, wasn't it? The resound. We are very fortunate here. We have always had wonderful musicians, even those that come visit us. And we're just very grateful for those that play these instruments for us. Welcome, everyone. Guest, if you're a guest today, a visitor. I think we had some folks that just happened to drop by. We're glad you're here. If you were an invited guest, we're glad you're here. If you're a part of the Life in Christ Fellowship family, we're glad you're here. We have old friends and new friends. And maybe friends we're just meeting today for the first time, but thank you for being here. Today's we have something special to rejoice in. Not only is it a beautiful day outside, isn't that a beautiful day out there? Rejoice in the Lord for giving us this beautiful day. But we're also celebrating our 20th year of ministry at Life in Christ Fellowship. 20 years. This organization came together as a group of people 20 years ago and decided that they were going to build a little church somewhere. Wasn't sure where it was going to be, and they rented the schoolhouses and the different facilities until they bought this piece of property and built this house of the Lord right here on this piece of property. And we don't know what God has in store for us, but we know it is to be a shining light in this community. And to invite people to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. And to be a place that stands for goodness and holiness and for God's people to have a place to come and worship and pray. And so you're all welcome, and we desire that you be a part of this if you think that might be something you want to do. We have some dear friends with us today, and we have friends from the past. I hope you all received your written invitation. If you didn't, forgive us, but make sure we have your information so that next time we have something like this that you do get a written invitation for that. So if you'll give us your address and name, we'll make sure that we get those out to you. And if you're worshiping with us today, you're one of those, you know how you go to the car lot or the store to buy something, and if you buy it today, you get this bonus item. Guess what? If you're worshiping with us today, you get this bonus item of fried chicken for lunch. So we are having a church dinner after service today, and we invite everyone who's here to be a part of that. When service is over and prayer is said for them lunch, they'll line up there and there'll be service. The food will be in the fellowship hall. And I do have a couple announcements I want to make. We always have our prayer meeting at noon on Wednesday, for those that can make that. This week there'll be no choir practice on Thursday. And we also want to send out our love and condolences to the brother Steve Utsi and the family for the loss of his father. And then we have sister Sue Burns lost her cousin Joy Heaton. And so we send out condolences and our prayers to you. Again, this is a good morning. We want to thank you for being here. I want you just to look at the neighbor next to you and say, I'm glad you're here with us today. Turn right or left, I don't care which way. We're glad you're here with us today. And if you're not, that's all right, I don't mind. We are. You know, a lot of times we don't, I like people having a little chance to say hello to one another like that. You know, we come in, a lot of us come in late, rush in here and sit down, and then we got to rush out of here because we got to meet the Baptist at the restaurant. But guess what? You don't have to meet nobody today. The restaurant came to you. So take plenty of time, enjoy one another's comfort and visit, and enjoy the Sunday with us. God bless you. We are glad to have you with us, and we hope you enjoy this morning in the worship.
amazing, amazing love. We have known and we have seen God's amazing love, each of us as families and friends. And we've seen in the last 20 years how God has been so faithful. Amen? And we celebrate memories together. And it is good to have so many good friends here. But we celebrate God's faithfulness and how he is continuing to do his work. And we want to be a part of that. And we want to sing his praises. Some of the hymns that have been a part of our lives. And we would ask you to stand with us if you would. And let's join together in singing those hymns. Praise him. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. stars in their courses above. Joy known in all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness. Oh, yes, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength today, bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings abide with tin. Lift it up, oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy face. Sing it again. Oh, great is thy face. Sing it to the Lord. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And everyone said, amen. Let's read this scripture together. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. As we continue, thank you. You may be seated. I love you, Lord. One mercy he never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness. Yes, we do. Amen. And all my life, you have been faithful, Lord. All my life,
you have been so, so good.
With every breath that I am, oh, yes, Lord, I will sing of the good. Your voice, you have led me through the fire and the darkness. You were close like no other.
as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Oh, yes, Lord. And all my life. All my life. With every breath that I am, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. My goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
All my life, yes.
All my life you have been faithful.
So faithful, Lord.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am making, oh, I will sing of the goodness.
Oh, sing that a chorus again. Oh, yes, Lord.
And all my life you have. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am in, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Day to rejoice, isn't it? I'm just thinking about the anniversary. You know, when they started the church, I was only 10 years old. So, I mean, it's been a while. It's been a while. But we're going to just have a short time of just sharing some prayer and praise, and then we have some special speakers going to share a little bit with us about their involvement of the church. You know, when you ask pastors to speak, you got to tell them it's got to be short because it sometimes goes longer. But if you'd like to share praise this morning, what God has done for you, with you, Linda.
Good morning, church. Good morning. I would like to share a praise. I had some unexpected dental issues with financials on Friday, and I was freaking out. And Pastor Bob prayed with me, and by the end of the day, they were solved. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Pastor Bob.
God is in the dental business too, isn't he? He's in every business that we need. We just need to ask him when we need something for help. Sometimes we wait till the end, don't we? Make him our last resort instead of our first resort.
with Pastor Bob's comment, I can't pass this one up. When we started the church, Pastor Bob probably had hair too. Not yet. Okay, some of you know I had to have a toe amputated. All the prayers, I know that we're going up, and all the cards that I got, more than I can answer, but all of you, your prayers and your cards were much appreciated. Thank you. Go to the doctor Tuesday to find out, get everything unwrapped, and just keep praying for me, please.
I just wanted to say that we're really excited because our daughter Alex is graduating this week, and we're so relieved. Not that we thought she wasn't going to, just we're happy. But I wanted to take this chance to say that we came here when she was 5. We walked into a church that was really small. There weren't a lot of kids there. And we had every intention of visiting several churches after that, and every week we came back. And that's because of all of you. And you've played a great part in how she's turned out, so thanks.
I just want to say how honored I feel to be a member of this church for the last 20 years, and what a pleasure it's been to have this church as my family.
Stacy, I still do have hair, in case you didn't notice. And I want to know which little piggy went to market.
I got to lead into that. No. I praise God for every one of you that has prayed since my father had passed this last week. The blessing of that, God had put me into a moment where I'm thinking, we have other brothers and sisters that are praying for me. And the power that he left in my soul for that. And I thank you guys for that, every one of you. All the greeting cards or sympathy cards I gotten, I thank you for that too. What a ministry. And then the texts that I got. Wow, just, it's like we're all a family here. We're all gathered around and concerned for each other. You know, when one person hurts, then we all go with that person. And I just thank you for the prayers, and I thank God for you.
So we do have a lot of fun. We are a family. We laugh and we cry together and work together and all those kinds of things. So it's good to be here as a family, isn't it? Amen. Whether you're on vacation family or whether you're a regular family, you're still family. All God's people are his family, no matter where you go, what church, you know, what congregation you're in, what country you're in. You notice that God's there no matter where you are, what college you attend. Right? We got some college knowledge people here. That's why I always call them every time I see them. And then when you get out of college, you find out how much you didn't know. So, anybody else want to share anything this morning before we have prayer?
Yes, I would like to ask for prayer for my brother, Les Hill. He recently found out that he has lung cancer and bone cancer from the Agent Orange from Vietnam.
Okay. Les Hill. Okay, Les Hill. Let's pray for him this morning. Anyone else?
I just want to say that I love my church family, and you have been so faithful in praying for me during my surgery, and I just appreciate that so much, and I love every one of you. And Randy and I just got back from vacation in Charlotte, North Carolina. We visited Billy Graham's library, and it was a spiritual growth for me. If you ever get a chance to go, do so. But we had a great time, but it was just a beautiful, beautiful piece that just overwhelmed me as I was going through all that and seeing and reading everything. But I love my church family. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord.
like everyone else. I've been here 13 years. I've followed this church from Franklin Heights High School, followed it around. And one morning I was sitting there, and what made me think of this was I was sitting there watching Billy Graham on TV, and literally God told me to get up, throw on some jeans and a t-shirt, and come to this church when I walked through these doors. There was a group of women that greeted me, and you all know who you were. And it literally lifted weights off my chest. And if it wouldn't have been for that group, who I call mom and sisters because of my past, I don't think I'd be here today. And I just want to give them praises for the blessings that they have bestowed upon me and this church. And if you're not a member through anywhere, please come. Please feel our love.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here. Thank you for encouraging those people to start this church. Lord, we know there's no perfect people. There's no perfect church, but we serve a perfect God. And Lord, we come together as a family. We have fun, we laugh, we joke, we pray. We rejoice with those. We're rejoicing, Lord, we have requests as well. Some that were mentioned, some were not mentioned. For Les Hill, for this cancer, Lord, that you would be with him this morning, Father, and just take care of that need that he has. We know there's other requests, Lord, that we have that may not be mentioned. I think of my mom, who's in ICU and hopefully recovering, and just for Jay and for Roland and the many other ones that we have, for Roger. And Lord, we have a whole list of ones we could be praying for, but we just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do for those people, for each one of us, for how you brought us to where we are today, Lord. We know the church is not a building. We know it's a group of people that serve and worship you, Lord, and we can be anywhere in the world, but we thank you that we do have a building to worship in. We have land to be on and to have fun and recreation and picnics and all kinds of things, and to hear your word, to sing your songs and worship, to have Bible studies, and for Zoom and those things that can happen now that we didn't have before. But when we look back at when it began, and we look forward to how it's going to be in the future, and we just thank you for bringing us here and those who have gone before us. Pray be with us this morning, Lord, as we continue to worship. In Jesus' name, amen. We have some guest speakers this morning. I don't know who wants to go first. We have Pastor Scott, Pastor Isaac Shoup. And I'm not sure if Mike's wife is here this morning. Mike's wife here this morning? I don't know. Scott, you want to go first? You want the mic or you want to use the pulpit? Where do you want to be?
Good morning, everybody. It is great to be in the house of the Lord once again to worship together. Good to see the familiar faces that I've known and loved for several years, and it's good to see the new faces that are here that are part of Life in Christ Fellowship. We said in the letter of God said 5 minutes, and everybody knows that I can't speak in 5 minutes, right? All right. Remember that? So I brought me 7 3x5 cards and filled them out. No, just one. But it is a privilege for Debbie and I to be here, to be included in this time of worship and time of celebration of all that God's done, and all that God is doing, and all that God will do in the days to come. Yes. For we live by faith, we walk by faith, we don't trust in ourselves, we don't trust in what we can do. It is through God's almighty power that empowers us, uses us for his glory and for his honor, wherever we may be. And I've always said and found it to be true that every day we have an opportunity to influence 7 different people, statistics say. And out of those 7 people, my desire is to tell them about Jesus. And let's see Jesus be through my life and through what's going on. As you can tell, I have a little friend that I carry with me. A couple years ago, I ended a month in the hospital with that wonderful word called COVID. They didn't think I would pull through, but praise God I did. And I'm here today celebrating. And that one song, With Every Breath I Take, trust me, with every breath I take, I praise him and give him the glory, because sometimes those breaths are not easy to take. But I just give a little background on that, is that if you remember back when we had our dedication service here for the building after we came in, I used the subject there in the text of Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12, and I think it was on the phone, says, never let the fire go out on the altar. And I'm glad to see that the fire has never gone out. It is burning brighter, and it's touching people. And I come through West Jefferson every now and then. I'm over this way every now and then. And it is good to see and meet up with people through Facebook and so forth that praises the church for what they're doing here in the community. And sometimes when you're inside a church, you don't realize the impact that you're having on the community, but you have a deep, deep impact on people that you never realize. And some of those are the seven people that you have opportunity of every day to influence for Christ. Our family has grown and it has stopped growing, hopefully, praising and all that. Our three children are all married, as you know, but we now have 11 grandchildren. Our oldest grandchild is a freshman in high school, and I don't know how it could be because Debbie's only 17 and I'm 19.
You're in church.
That's true, but I'm standing by the altar. The fire never goes out. But our children are... One lives in Circleville area, the other one lives down in Lebanon, the other one lives in the south side of Columbus. Abby and Jeremy are still pastoring. He is the assistant district or general superintendent of the denomination that he's a part of, and he teaches in the college, and he's overwhelmed with so many different things, and they have four children. My son Adam lives in Circleville. He is a technician for Spectrum, been working for them now, 15 years? 13, 12, 15, more than what you would figure. And he's doing quite well, has two children. His wife is the secretary lead in the Circleville public schools, elementary schools. And so they're doing well. Kim went through a great battle, physical battle, with God touched her and lifted her up. And Andrew lives down in Lebanon. He serves as a data analyzer. He works for a medical billing company, and he runs all of the data and the creation of programs for the company. And he also has now started his own company that worked with interconnecting people through Texas, through messaging and things like that. He's created his own program and has designed it. Last time I talked to him, he says there's over 27,000 code that he has put together to make it work. And so he is busy. They have five children, and he's the one that has the one that's a freshman in high school. Our journey in life is this. We are living over in Reynoldsburg. We've been there now for more years than we have not been anywhere else. It seems like sometimes our lives, Pastor, we get moved around a lot, but it's good to have a place to call home. We've been there in Reynoldsburg. We have the opportunity to share in a small church and to lead a small church over in Newark. Just a small group of people, but they have a big impact. Two of our ladies, two times a week, serves in a homeless shelter and caring for people. And once again, though, you never know what you're doing for people's lives, which outside of the walls of the church. And it's good to be a part of that. Debbie works for Snow Ohio Health. She works at home now. So I get to put up with her 24/7. But she has gone through a great battle. She lost both of her parents this year, 14 weeks apart. Really tough time. And that's when she transferred to work at home, just to take care of her mother after her father passed away. And before we get all the transition of her mother moving in with us, she passed away. But God has been good every step of the way. He has satisfied our hearts and blessed our hearts in so many different ways it's impossible to tell. Just a little bit about what I am doing. I'm a pastor of a small church, but also I'm the director of a missionary ministry called 168 IF. It works with several missionaries with the Churches of Christ and Christian Union, where we create specialized prayer teams for them. A lot of different things go. Sam was one of the people that gets some of the emails that comes from time to time. But working out with all of our missionaries, developing those prayer teams, and that's the main focus, supporting them in a time of prayer, but also we help them in raising their finances. And I just make this one thing, the missionaries are needed worldwide. There are some really hot spots for Christ right now. There's some places that God is moving beyond what you could ever imagine, but they need workers. And so pray is what it says, to pray that workers be sent into the harvest. It's vitally important. And all that we help to raise the financial support. One evening, if a missionary was struggling, they were struggling to get their finances raised. And one evening at a celebration, we raised over $20,000 for them to help them to get back to the mission field. We just praise God for things like that. And so I just praise God. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. May God continue to bless you and use you for the kingdom. May souls be saved, may souls be sanctified, and may souls someday be glorified in heaven.
Reverend Mike Thompson was the first one to be here, and he's passed on. I'm not sure if his wife came today or not. I don't see her anywhere. But then it was Pastor Scott, Pastor Shoup. And I'm the last in line. So.
It's good to be here this morning.
Good morning.
A lot of memories. This is a very special place to me. You've meant a lot to me down through the years. I had the opportunity to do different times, I guess two different times as interim pastor, and then for a while, a couple years, a full-time pastor. But a lot of good memories right here. As you remember, I generally preach from down here, so I could look you in the eye and know what you're expecting or accepting the message. As I thought about this, what do I say to you this morning about my time with you? And I can't help but think, but this is a very precious time, but it's also a very, it's a rewarding time. It's also a time of remembering a very sorrowful time in my life, because when I stand here, and I always remember that every time I come here, here's where the body of my first wife lay. Had the funeral right here, and you came around me, you supported me. For 4 hours we was here, and people came and expressed their sympathy and all. And then the next day was able to preach her funeral, and I knew someone said to me, well, that must have been very difficult to do that, and I said, no, it's the easiest funeral I ever preached, because I knew her. I knew the kind of person she was. And God gave me a message that simply said, you share with him your story. And that's what I did, if you remember. And then he said, then you tell them my story and share it with the congregation, the love of God through Christ Jesus. And then he said, challenge them that they are writing their story now. So it's important, isn't it, that we understand who we are, but understand who he is, and understand we have responsibility then to lift him up and let the world know that he came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Then not only that, then 9 months later, I announced to you as your pastor, I said I felt my responsibility to share with you his changes in my life. And I said to you as I stood here, I met this lady, and I'm going to be married again. And you remember, you applauded. You thought that was great. I didn't tell you who she was. I just said, I met this lady, and she has agreed to marry me. And I had talked to her, and I told them that I had invited her to come that particular morning. And I had made up with her that we would start counting. When I'm talking over here to these people, we'll start counting 1 to 10. 1,001, 1,002, 1,010. And I said, by the time I get over here to where you're sitting, then we will be at the 10. And when I got over here, she just sat there. She did not get up. And somebody said, maybe she changed her mind. And come to find out, she got so excited that somewhere through the count, she lost count and started over. And when Judy stood up, you gave her a standing ovation. What a time. So I not only said goodbye to a wonderful, beautiful wife for 65 years, but you also enabled me to find another beautiful, wonderful wife, and we just celebrated our 8th anniversary just last week. So there's some sad memories, but there's also some wonderful memories, and I'm so grateful for the privilege of serving with you, doing the things that God has called me to do. I have shared with you, I'm sure, but God's called to me after 40 years of age to go into the ministry, to preach his word, to pastor people, and I fought it for a long time, but finally gave in. And he called me to spread the good news of the gospel, and you have given me that opportunity to do that. And to you, I am ever grateful. Whatever years it was, I am so grateful that you gave to me that opportunity. At 91 years of age, I'm still searching for God's will and plan for my life. I am. It's amazing. But I am challenged to draw closer and closer to him. Every morning I go into my prayer room, I use this scripture. Go into your room, shut the door, and pray. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. Amen. And the greatest reward is when he comes, meets with me, he gives me his plan and his purpose. And then he tells me, you go tell people what I'm telling you. I believe that's what preaching the gospel really is. And so I was challenged here just a couple weeks ago coming home from church. I was listening to wall builders, David Barton, and he's talking about the situations we find ourselves in our day as a nation. And he threw out a challenge that I have accepted. He challenged us to memorize God's word. In fact, he said this was a challenge. If you will memorize one verse of scripture a week, just think about it, in 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses of scripture to carry with you. That's important, isn't it? And so I was reading then in Hebrews and in chapter 10 where it is talking about the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. Under the old covenant of the animal sacrifices, the blood was shed. And so every year they had to sacrifice another animal. But every year they were reminded of their sins. But Jesus brought a different plan, didn't he? Amen. His plan was not just to sacrifice animals, but he came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And so Jesus, in talking about that, when he was explaining it, he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. And by that will, he says, he has sanctified, through the offering of the body of the body of Jesus Christ, we have been sanctified through that offering. And by that offering, he says, we have been Those who are sanctified, they are perfected forever for those who are sanctified. So this is a life of total confidence in him, total surrender to him. And when we walk with him, my friend, we can find peace, we can find joy, we can find comfort even in our most difficult times.
Amen.
Why did he come to earth? Why did Jesus come?
For us.
Why did he come?
For us.
For us. Any other ideas? So he paid the price for us then to save us from our sins. As I'm reading, especially in John's Gospel, chapter 14 through 17, when you look at what Jesus is really saying, there's one reason why he came. Now, all these other things are true, but one reason why he came was so that we could know the Father. Amen. Think about that. The Father, he says, it is the things that I say, it's not me saying, it's the Father who is saying them through me. The works that I do is not me doing the works, it is the work of my Father. And I believe the greatest purpose we have in life is to follow his plan and make sure that we are allowing people to understand we can have a personal relationship not only with Jesus, but also with the Father.
Amen.
He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have a lot of important days, don't we? We have, of course, the crucifixion. We have the resurrection. Next Sunday will be Pentecost Sunday. But then following that will be Father's Day. I know we appreciate our earthly fathers, but let's make this year a time when we really do worship our Heavenly Father and give to him the praise and the honor and the glory that is due his name. Under the old covenant, he could not have a relationship with people, but through Jesus Christ, Jesus said, "Through me, you can know the Father." Amen. And I believe that's exactly what we need to be doing. Our lives should be a living witness of God the Father's amazing and wonderful grace. The Father loves us and gave his Son that we might have eternal life. And I want my life to be a reflection of his life, that I too am doing everything I can to let people know we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but through him we can know our Heavenly Father. Amen?
Amen.
Praise his name.
Thank you, Pastors Scott and Pastor Chu. 91 years old, still walking miles a day. I'm driving a few more miles, and it's just not the same. Oh, well, I marched to many drummers to any place they led. Each winter, spring, and summer brought something new to dread. Held captive by my choices, in bondage by the cost. Heeding hurtful voices, not knowing that I was lost. Then far off in the distance, three empty crosses stood. In spite of my resistance, I approached the blood-stained wood. A still, small voice, it spoke to me. I did this all for you. Now follow in my footsteps, and I'll see your journey through. So I walk a pilgrim's journey to a place I cannot see, aware of where I started and where I long to be. The path at last unfolded, a crimson holy ground. I take the road less traveled, and paradise is found. Some say life is just a series of decisions. We make choices, we live and learn. Now I'm standing at a crossroad, and I must choose which way to turn. Down the one road lies all the world can offer, all its power, its wealth and fame. Down the other, just a man with nail scars in his hands, but there is mercy in his eyes, and there is power in his name. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Without a solitary doubt, I choose Jesus. Not for miracles, but for loving me. Not for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. Not just for a day, but for eternity. I choose Jesus. All my life I've sailed the sea of reason. Oh, I was captain of my own soul. There was no need for a savior, for I could live life on my own. Then I heard him speak the language of compassion, words of healing for broken lives. When they nailed him to a tree, his love included me. Now he's calling me to follow and to leave the past behind. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Without a solitary doubt, I choose Jesus. Not for miracles, but for loving me. Not for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. Not just for a day, but for eternity. I choose Jesus. Oh, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Without a solitary doubt, I choose Jesus. Not for miracles, but for loving me. Not for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. Not just for a day, but for eternity. I choose Jesus. Jesus.
Thanks, Sam, for sharing that this morning with us. Just like in the beginning, eh? Just like when you first started. I'm going to share a brief message this morning. I don't want to take too long. I'll be done by when I get done. We're here to celebrate 20 years of life in Christ. Did you know that that was not the first name considered? Looking back in the records, they had different names like Christ Ministries, Christ Fellowship, New Horizon Community Church, Covenant Community Church, Fellowship in Christ, Celebrate Christ Ministries, and Celebration of Christian Church. And in the end, they got Life in Christ Fellowship. I'm not sure who came up with that or how you did it. I wasn't there, but how'd you do it, Sam? Did somebody just say this name and you picked it?
As I recall, we were considering a number of names, of course, as you mentioned, but in praying one day, we just chosen that this was going to kind of fit the message for the church. Pastor Shoup and others preached a message in terms of each of those elements. And it just fit what we were trying to do in the West Jeff area. In this
okay. Good. It's good to know the background, isn't it? So you know how things started, how they began. But it started out because people felt called of the Lord to start something new. They weren't satisfied with the church they were in. Things were changing. The music was changing. The ministry focus was changing. And they wanted to be a church that welcomed all people, all ages. Our music was worshipful, not just loud. That's kind of my take on what I read, Sam. Tell me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, you just stand up and say, no, it's a correction, okay? Because when you're not there, you know, you kind of got to do the best you can with what you get. So I'm just taking from some of the notes that I looked at and some of those things today. But they had numerous meetings. There were searches for pastors and places to have a church and all kinds of things. And they had songs and messages. And you can see some tapes this morning when you go back for the meal. There'll be some videotapes. We still use those. Back there you can see we had to get a little stretcher because they're the small ones. So we got a little stretcher so you can see them. Where Isaac, you're in there preaching, and Russ is in there, and different ones are in there. So I didn't look at them all, but I have a few back there you can watch. And a lot of pictures, things that you can see, stories that are going to be shared as you're sitting around the table. But, you know, it's what God has done and continues to do. It's not any one person. It's not any one man, any one pastor. You know, pastors come and go, people come and go, but the Lord never leaves. Amen. And so we just believe that he's been here with this church. He's going to be with this church long after we're gone. It's going to continue on until he comes back. David writes in Psalm 143, verse 5, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. It's always good to remember the past and look back and see what God has done in your life. Sometimes we forget, you know, where we are, how he brought us through, what things he did. And as we look back this morning, we'd be thankful that God led this group of people to start a new church. To those he called to serve in ministers, as ministers, musicians, technicians, and other capacities in the church. Because it's not run by one person, right? The pastor doesn't do it all. He can't do it all. If he does, there's a problem. We're all called to be ministers. I've been in churches before that we visited that the pastor does everything. And when he's gone, nobody knows what to do. So my philosophy has always been to work myself out of a position that when I'm not here, the church continues on. It's not based on the person, but everybody does their job, and God uses them all, and it keeps going. But eventually that idea of having a new church began and ended up with a building, which is what we're in here today. But here's the thing. This couldn't have happened without the Lord's hand being on those people. They could have tried it, it would have failed. But God was there with all the obstacles and things they had to go through to get here, to make it what it is today. And the church survived because God wanted it to. And I think he wants every church to survive, but we don't always follow his plan. And that's why I think some of the churches fail, because we're doing what we think we should do, and not what we think God wants us to do. So if we follow his word, then we're going to have success in what he wants us to have success in. But the music and preaching, I think, here have been God-centered. And not on man or what society wants. It's what the Bible says, and sometimes you don't like to hear that because that's what God tells us to do. But it's true. If I give you my opinion, it means nothing. If I give you the word of God, it means everything. Amen. When we preach God's word, it means what he wants us to know and do and be. But missions has been a big part of this church. We still give 10% to missions, both local and statewide, and then abroad as well, to help God's word be spread. And we have meetings about that, talk about different things. Where should we give now? What should we do? Who do we give to? We send people out to camps and different kind of things to hope that God's going to use them, and who knows what that person or persons are going to be. Next Billy Graham, greater than Billy Graham, we don't know. We don't know what that person is going to be. Only God knows. But may we never forget the past and use it as an inspiration to look towards the future. The issue is we can't do things the way we've done them before. The things of the past are different than they are today, right? We didn't have cell phones and Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. Our methods may change, but the message should never change. The whole point is get the message out, however we can get it out to people, and let them know that that the Lord is important. The good thing is our work's not done. You know, 20 years is great. That's 20 years. But we still have more to do. We still build a legacy for those that are coming after us, that are going to continue on. When we're not here and they look at our pictures like, they used to be here. They're going to be doing things that we hadn't done, but they're going to do greater things is what we're hoping. So we're hoping just like you guys went before us, Pastor Scott and Pastor Mike and Pastor Isaac, you know, you started something. You began the good work, but God's going to continue that work through those he brings later on. And so we're grateful for that and looking forward to what's going to happen in the future. But he calls us to remember things. And communion is one of those times to remember what God has done for us. And he says, practice it, keep doing it until he comes so we don't forget. I mean, I forget things a lot of times. My wife will say, did you do what I told you to do? I'm like, well, what did you tell me to do? I just told you that. Oh, you did? I'm telling you the truth up here. You can ask her if you don't believe me. She'll tell me something I'll forget. But if she gives me a job to do, like work on something, I remember that. And she'll say, remember when our kids were doing this? And I'm like, no, was I there? Yeah, you were there. Remember when they skinned his knee? Nope. She knows all that stuff, but I don't know why I forget it, but sometimes I do forget it. We have the building here for us to remember, the pictures, as we celebrate 20 years. It's a celebration for us as a church. I'm sure there are plenty of struggles that happened along the way, things that didn't work out, prices raised, things changed, people got upset about things, because people do that about things when you do anything. But God brought them through, right? Through the good times and the bad times, through the evils that were happening when society was crumbling around, as it's even crumbling more today, God wanted the church to stand no matter what Satan brought at the church. He said, my church is going to stand. I'm going to build that building out there in the middle of that field, and we're going to have a church. And West Jeff will have an influence or be influenced by that church. A study from 2021 from Lifeway Research, based on data from 36 denominations, found that 4,500 churches closed in 2019. 4,500 churches closed, and only 3,000 were started. That means from 2019, we've been falling behind 1,500 churches a year. And I know where I used to live, in Michigan. One of the churches, the Lutheran church we had there, became a mosque. And that so bothered me, to see that church become a mosque. When maybe another church could have used it. I know Cypress does sometimes use other churches that are not doing well. They take over that church and then they build that church up, which is a great thing to do. It just kills me to see a church become a mosque or a church just to fade away and crumble. Nobody takes care of it. It's a sacred place that God wants us to use. But the median attendance dropped in those churches from 137 to 65 over two decades. What's happened? What's happened to the church? Our young people are not hearing about it. They're not being brought to church. We put other things ahead of God. One of the big hindrances that I see going on to the church is Sunday sports. That's the church to a lot of people. I don't have anything wrong with sports. I do have an issue of Sunday sports. We've had our daughter go occasionally when we were in Australia. We were pastors. To events because everything was on that Sunday, and if she didn't go, then she didn't get to do anything. So occasionally we let her go, but usually when our kids were growing up, you could ask them, they're right there, two of them. They didn't get to go play the sports on Sunday because church was the priority. We said, sorry, you guys can't go. They compete all week, and they had the big events on Sunday, and our kids couldn't go, which is very frustrating, very upsetting for me, but that's become one of the gods of society now is sports on Sunday. Why can't you do it Saturday? Why can't you do it Sunday afternoon? But it's got to be Sunday morning. So that's one of my pet peeves that kind of bothers me. Some people don't come to church because they worship at the church of sleeping in. It's the only day I can sleep in. No, it's not. Come to church and sleep in afterwards. Sleep all day if you want. Take your hour or 2 hours and come to church in the morning and then sleep in the rest of the day if you want to. That's your priority. I said to my wife the other day, I want to sleep in. She said, you can't, you're the pastor. Some others want to listen to services on TV. And if you can't come to church, that's okay. I've not a problem with that. But if you can come to church, you need the fellowship. You need to see people, talk to people, interact with people, pray for each other. Be able to look somebody in the face, not just send them a text. Because you don't really know what that means. They can put it all in capitals. You think, what are you yelling at me for? You're like, I didn't know how to get it off caps. Right? So you need to talk to people, interact with people, and be there if you can make it to church. And if you can't, that's fine to listen to it. I mean, we have our service up every week. But you learn and you grow and you serve and you give and you fellowship together and you worship. That's why he calls us the body of Christ. Because we're all supposed to be here as the body. Remember, as a teenager, I couldn't wait to get to church. It wasn't because I was super spiritual, it was because my girlfriend was going there. Sorry, dear, it wasn't you, but I married you. I married her, though, so you know which one was more important. But that family brought me to church. I wouldn't have been there. My aunt used to take us to church as kids, Lutheran church, to go to Sunday school, and that was it. We had no Bible teaching. But I started going to church, and I started enjoying church, and I started wanting to be at church. I had friends there. I had support there. I learned things there. I grew in my faith. I did all kinds of things, from being on the board, playing the softball team, running the sound, doing all kinds of things. We did programs as youth. They let us do the message once a month on Sunday nights. So you prepared all your things, and you got ready to give your message, and in 5 minutes you were done. But we learned what it was like to take up the offering, to play the music, to do all those things. We got to serve in the church, and the church became something special. When I was in college, I was in Campus Crusade for a number of years, and then they said, "Do you want to be the MC for the campus?" I'm like, "Yeah, that'd be kind of nice." And I thought to myself, I'm not going to be here, though, when I graduate. I'm going to be in the church. So I said no to that and decided to work in the church instead. And that's where we've been doing things ever since, in the church, because that's where it was going to be. And there are people that are called to do things like Campus Crusade. That's a good ministry, but that wasn't what I was called to be. But the word remember, I looked up, it said it's used 352 times in the Bible. If you count the variations of it, it's used 550 times. So remember is a good thing, I think, especially for guys. Because women say it to us, "Do you remember that?" And we have to remember. Sometimes we forget. Things go on too many times. We have different kinds of memories. I don't know about that one about men are from Mars and women are from Venus or whatever. I don't know what that means, but it sounds logical to me. But I'm glad for my wife, because she reminds me of things that are important to me that I sometimes forget. She was showing me pictures last night of my grandpa that I got to see on there. That I really cherish him. And then we talked about, does he look like you or look like your dad and all those kinds of things. So we need to look at those things, look back. That's what the Israelites did. They looked back and they remembered things that had happened. Joshua 4, verses 1 through 18, I'm going to read that this morning. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and have them take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing. And carry them over with you and put them down at a place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go before the ark of the Lord, your God, in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?'" He wanted to be able to tell them what they meant, right? We wanted to have a legacy or something for them. It said, "Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, and they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at a spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priest who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed. People hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed the Ark of the Lord, and the priest came to their side while the people watched. The men of Reuben and Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over ready for battle, in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 men armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. And that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. They stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they stood in awe of Moses. So they didn't forget about Moses, did they? But Joshua was next. They remembered what Moses did, and there was a miracle among miracles. Joshua took over for Moses, led the people through the Exodus, and he led the people, which could have been as many as 3 million. They don't have an exact number, but there was a lot of people. They crossed over to where the Lord had promised them to go, to Canaan. The area which they crossed over, somebody looked up and said it was 100 feet wide and 10 feet deep. And in the spring, it's in flood mode. It's turbulent. Said in 1854, an expert swimmer attempted to swim across that area and couldn't do it, because they were swimming in the water, but God took the water away and they crossed on dry land. Even that's a miracle, because when that water goes away, it's not going to be dry, is it? Unless God makes it dry. When the priests' feet touched the water, the river dried up and the waters parted, and all the people crossed over safely. And that's when he asked them to take up the stones. This was to be a memorial or a sign that served as a reminder for them to remember the miracle God had done for them. So they took the stones, they stacked them up to remind the next generations what God had done, to give them confidence and strength because of his past victories. So as we look at this church and where we've come, we can look back and say, this is where we started and this is where we are. Look what God has done over those years. Just like the stones, we have reminders. We have Ed Van Horn, who should be on there. Where's Ed? Who was on there with a group of people 20 years ago, had an idea to start a church, made phone calls, and started setting up meetings. They had speakers on Sunday, different speakers coming. They purchased the property. They cleared and fitted it for a building. The plans were drawn up. The soil was spread out and dedicated to the Lord. And then this church, the body of believers, started meeting here. They met in homes first, and then in a school, and then in a different church, and then they started meeting here. But it's been 20 years that Christ, the body of Christ, has been here in this church. And I don't just mean this building. I mean Life in Christ as the church. Because Life in Christ can be anywhere, can't they? We can meet anywhere, but we're meeting in here. Then the vision turned into this church with 22 acres. We've had good times and bad times. We've had high times and low times. We've had red months. You know what that means? We've had black months. All right? That means when funds are good and funds are not coming in so good. But we're in a building where children and adults were taught the word of God. Marriages took place and are taking place. Fellowship together. We have VBS programs, adult trunk and treat, picnics, Zoom Bible studies where people from different states have joined us. And Zoom church services where, I think my sister Kathy-in-law is on there. My sister-in-law Kathy's on there now, and Jim and Sue Hagerman are on there, and different people have been on there. They can join us without being here physically. They can still be here, and they can see what's happening. So remember the building, but the building is not necessarily the church. It's those who were here from the beginning, had a vision and determination to make this happen because God wanted it to happen. Could have been their idea. It would have made it turn out to be nothing, but now you see the fruits of their labor. Today they persevered, and today we say thanks to them. Henry Ford said this: when everything seems to be going against you, remember the airplanes take off against the wind, not with it. And for Christians, it's getting harder and harder, isn't it? There's a wind blowing that's not good, but we need to take off against the wind with God's help. And I'll shorten this because I don't want to be too long. Everything I do is short, you know, so. We're here as a church because of the Lord and those he chose to follow his plan and remember what he's done for us and rejoice for what he's done. We can wholeheartedly agree with Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, where it says, I give thanks to the Lord my whole heart. I recount all of your wonderful deeds, and I'll be glad and exult in you. I will sing praises to your name, Most High. So as we finish up with our final songs, we can be praising God for who he is and what he's done. We can be excited for what's next. When you first get married, you're like, this is great, but what's next? And it keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? So as you go and look at the pictures and eat and reminisce, not forget to thank the Lord for all his wonderful deeds. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for being with us, Lord, for those who have gone before, who have set the stage, who have built a building, who have got things started, and allowed us to be in this place. We just pray that we can honor you and worship you and continue to have an influence on this society, on this world, on West Jeff, places around. Pray for your strength, your guidance, your direction, and pray for those who you're going to use to carry on when we're not here. So we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that message. And it says a lot about the grace of God when we had two pastors from Michigan. You know, I saw that in that picture. One was clapping and his head's up. He had that M helmet on. The others had their heads bowed and just... No, we are grateful. Thank you so much for coming and being with us. And we are reminded of the goodness of God. Let's sing to God be the glory. Will you stand with us, please? To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Oh, praise the Lord. Once again, we remind you that we'll be sharing meals together. That's another thing we learned to do here over the years and do it quite well. And we have some wonderful people have prepared some food, and we'd be delighted if you want to share with us if you can. And let's pray before we go out to have the meal together. Father God, thank you for the great things you have done and are doing. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you that even today we can know without a doubt that you are in our hearts and our minds, directing our lives. And in this troubled world, we need it so, and we thank you. Thank you for the assurance we have in you. Now, dear Father, go with us as we share this meal together, and we ask that you bless the needs of our bodies and those who must go on. Be with them. Keep them safe. And again, we rejoice together in your name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you very much.
time.